Okay, so in lesson six, one of the first items that we actually looked at was the Great Commission. And I do want to turn back over to Matthew chapter 28. And we actually read verses 16 through 20, and we'll read those again. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And those verses read, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" So, one of the things that we pointed out here is the importance of Jesus actually presenting himself to his disciples. And not only did he present himself to these disciples, spoke to them, and even on some occasions he encouraged them, if they had that doubt, to touch the wound, the nail holes in his side. And ultimately, the one thing you begin to see is there might have been some doubt from some of these apostles, but again, if you think about the fact that Jesus showed up, appeared before them, and the fact that he spoke to them. And again, the doubt itself was evident because when Jesus was actually taken into custody, when he was flogged, when he was being put to death, you think about the his closest disciples at that time and the fact that they all dispersed. They all dispersed. And ultimately, the one thing we know is that after they saw this resurrected Savior standing before them, after he actually spoke to them, you saw this complete 180 in the actions of these disciples and the fact that they were willing at this point, they were willing to forsake their livelihood, they were willing to forsake their lives for the sake of Christ. And ultimately, you begin to see that they were no longer half-hearted disciples. Again, it's one thing to easily say that we're willing to do something, but again, sometimes when we're actually put to the test, sometimes we fall short of that standard. And we looked at a couple of examples. We actually turn over to Acts chapter 5 and verses 34 through 39, where we saw Gamaliel, a teacher of the Pharisees, and he spoke about, several individuals who came. They were more or less false messiahs. They came, they tried to liberate the Jews, but the one thing that they had in common is once they were killed, their disciples or all of the followers of these two individuals, once they were killed, those disciples and followers, they just dispersed. They no longer follow that cause. And you think about Christ. Again, when Jesus was killed, initially when Jesus was taken into captivity, again, you think about the fact that his disciples departed from him. They left. But again, after they saw this resurrected Savior, and after he spoke to them, you can see that they were truly assured and they knew they had this confidence for sure that again, he truly was the Son of God who he claimed to be. And we saw it in their actions and the fact that they were willing to die for Christ. Again, we also talked about the fact, that these disciples, these closest disciples, these apostles will actually be martyred for the sake of Christ. And even as you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, this roll call of faith, you see numerous disciples of Christ who again will give their life for the sake of Christ. We discussed the fact that as a disciple of Christ, we all have an active responsibility to proclaim the word. And we actually took a look over in Matthew chapter 25 and looked at the parable of the talents. In Matthew 25, we actually see two parables from Jesus. One of those is the parable of the virgins that speaks about readiness, and his follow-up a little bit later by the parable of the talents. And the second parable over in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks about the fact that as we wait for the Lord's return, that we should be active. And when you begin to look at this parable, the parable of the talents here, you know, Jesus speaks about a Lord who is traveling to a far country. However, before he leaves, he delivers his goods to his servants. And think about the fact that the Lord knew his servants. He knew his servants, so he knew which servants to appoint more talents to and which ones to give less to. So he knew his servants and their abilities. And certainly as you begin to read this particular parable, you see that each servant was assigned a talent or, you know, this money or this responsibility based off of their abilities. And we also see that each servant would have to, they more or less knew what to do with this money. So it was this custom throughout this time frame when a lord of a household, of an estate, when he left for a period of time, you know, the work at that particular household did not stop. Instead, when he left, he would actually divvy out responsibilities to his trusted servants. And again, each servant was given certain responsibilities based upon the abilities that they had. So the one thing we see, the one thing that is constant amongst all three of these servants is the fact that they all have responsibilities. Each one of these servants had a responsibility. And the simple fact is we saw that two of these servants were faithful and they produced more. And we saw that one was unfaithful. And not only was he unfaithful, instead he begins to make excuses as to why he wasn't able to produce more. And, you know, as you continue on throughout Matthew chapter 25 here, in verses 35 through 40, as Jesus spoke about the judgment to come, he points out, you know, some of the small acts that can be done and things that we really don't even think twice about. Whether it's visiting people, whether it's you know, feeding people or clothing people. You know, little small things that we can do that one show love and that two certainly brings honor and glory to God. And, you know, again, the reality is, you know, you begin to think about our own abilities that we have. And sometimes we may look down on those abilities. But again, think about those small things that we can do to bring honor to God. And at the same time, knowing that we still have this active responsibility to continue to try to learn more and to produce more for the kingdom. And lastly, we stopped off talking about Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And the fact that the gospel itself is God's power to salvation for those who believe. And, you know, when you begin to think about this gospel here, it's the exact same gospel, the exact same gospel that was preached faithfully, you know, 2,000 plus years ago. It's the same gospel that we have today. And again, we have that same responsibility to continue to proclaim the word of God throughout this world. And this work of spreading the gospel requires each member to be active and faithful in order for the work to be successful. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. And that verse reads, "For whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which Every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And, you know, on several occasions, Paul actually talked about, you know, the body itself, and how, you know, various parts of the body may have different responsibilities, but at the same time, they all work together for a common purpose. And again, you think about the fact that we as Christians, again, certainly we all possess different abilities. We're provided different resources by God, but at the same time, you know, think about the fact that we all are working together with one common goal. And again, that is to spread the gospel. Think back to that great commission that Jesus would provide to his disciples. And of course, we know it was provided to those disciples back then, and it's provided to us today. The work of spreading the gospel will only be successful, again, if we're faithful. And in talking about this, let's turn over to Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 46. Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 46. And in this particular, in these verses here, we see this parable that Jesus will provide about this faithful and unfaithful servant. So Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 46. And those verses read as follows. Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his master would make ruler over his household, to give them portions of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is the land is common,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at the hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." And ultimately, I wanted to read these verses simply, you know, when you begin to look at it again, think about, you see clearly the difference between this faithful servant and this unfaithful servant. The faithful servant, even though his master isn't there, he knows he has a certain level of responsibility, and he's doing his job. He's doing and taking care of that responsibility that he has. And again, you think about this unfaithful servant, this individual that he knows he has a level of responsibility, but at the same time, because his master's not there, he's just going to take it easy and relax for a while. And of course, we see that throughout this time frame, he's even doing, you know, more evil acts. But again, think about the fact, you know, that one individual is faithful, the other is unfaithful. And again, you know, certainly as we ourselves are again waiting for the Lord, you know, certainly consider that we should be among those who are faithful and faithfully doing the things that we should be doing in terms of preaching the word, teaching, and sowing the seed of the kingdom. And again, the faithful servant is certainly one who is found faithfully working when his master returns. Think about the word of God and holding firm to the truth of God's word in a world where the truth itself is not popular. And you can see that today, how the word of God is slowly but surely how people try to erode the word of God, and how they try to make it to a much softer, gentler word, and how they take the word of God and have deviated from it. And the simple fact is, again, you know, you can look around in this world that we live in today, and just because mankind has legalized certain behaviors and certain acts, again, if it's against the word of God, if it's contrary to who God is, again, think about holding faithful, being faithful to the word of God and to the word of God only. And certainly think about spreading the gospel of Christ in a world, again, that really has, you know, no true desire to hear that true word of God. I'm going to stop there. And does anyone have any questions or comments or anything? Chapter 6. Well, we will do a very short review here of some of the other chapters or some of the other lessons here. The first thing I want to do here is actually read the cover page that I read from the very first lesson here. And I was telling you about some of the thoughts that I had in regards to actually preparing this lesson here. And again, it's entitled, Does It Matter? This study is aimed towards anyone, again, who wishes to establish, strengthen, or reestablish a relationship with God. If you don't already have a relationship with God and you are starting out, then you're encouraged to read God's word, study it, and take the steps necessary to have a right relationship with God. As a Christian, we encourage you certainly to find a sound church of Christ so that you may one day be a worker approved unto God. If you are already a Christian who seeks to grow spiritually, then I hope this study will encourage you to dig deeper into God's word so that you may fully understand his will for you in this life. And life, you're encouraged to truly examine yourself so that you may continue to grow spiritually. Ask yourself these questions. Do I put forth the effort to share God's word with others? What roadblocks exist in my life that prevents me from doing God's will? Do I study God's word on a consistent basis? How confident am I when I share God's word with others? And do I consider myself to be a workman approved unto God? If you find yourself as one who once obeyed the gospel but slid back into your former life, then again, my hope for you was that this study will help you to refocus and encourage you to take the steps necessary to get into a right relationship with God. As a Christian, we should all desire to be workers proven to God. God's word is true and reliable regardless of the timeline and of the culture. It will properly guide us into life if we obey what is written. And my hope is that throughout this study, we will continue to realize and appreciate the value of God's word in our lives. Sometimes we tend to take the word of God for granted. And even though it's there with us every day, you know, again, you know, think how often when we find ourselves in trouble, who do we oftentimes go to? Do we rely upon the word of God? Do we go to God in prayer? And again, you know, when you think back to Matthew chapter 28, and we talked about this last week, you know, think about the fact that Jesus, again, had complete control over all things. He had authority over death. He had authority over sickness and diseases. He had authority over all things. Now, certainly when we go to prayer for someone, or when we find ourselves in trouble, why would we go anywhere else outside of going to God? You know, one who literally has control, again, over all things. So, again, my hope is that throughout this study, we come to realize and appreciate the value of God's word in our lives. God, through his servant Amos, spoke of a famine over in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. And this famine itself wasn't one of bread or water. Instead, it was a famine of hearing the word of God. And again, imagine our lives without the word of God. And I pray and hope that throughout this study, we can examine ourselves through God's word and make corrections as they are needed. And certainly it is my hope that one day, with all honesty, we will live what is written over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, which is, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That being said, lesson one, first lesson that we went over, was entitled, Does It Matter If I Interpret the Bible My Way? And let's turn over to Psalm 139. I want to read a few things from Psalm 139 here again. When you begin to look at Psalm 139, you see that God does have a perfect knowledge of mankind. And I actually brought this up in several of our classes here. You know, you think about the fact that God knows us better than we know ourselves, certainly. He knows what we're capable of and what we are not capable of, or what we may fall short of. And the simple fact is, you know, certainly, we talked about how David himself, how David, even though he sinned against God, David was still considered a man after God's own heart. And I want to read these verses here, again, just to emphasize the fact that, you know, there were some behaviors that were against, that were contrary to God, and these behaviors David also hated. And again, you think about the fact today that people are willing to be a little bit more flexible with the word of God, especially today. There are things out there today that, you know, people find themselves okay with, and they profess to be Christians. But again, you think about it, if it's sin to God, it should be sin to us as well. Psalm 139, starting with verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shine as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you form my inward parts, you cover me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And again, you know, the point that I really wanted to make here, even as I stated before, was simply, you know, those things that are contrary to God should also be contrary to us. If it's sin to God, it should be sin to us. The I took some of the verses from lesson one here. And the first thing I wanted to say here was, you know, if you think about the first century church, think about, again, the efforts that the apostles made to ensure that only the pure truth of God's word was being preached. Over in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, wrote the following to the churches of Galatia. That's Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. But do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I still please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So again, consider, you know, what happens when we do those things that we shouldn't do. Consider from the very beginning that God has shown us that it does matter how we approach him and that it does matter if we keep his word. We talked about several examples over in lesson one, and we won't go through all of these, but, you know, if you think back to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, you see the example of Nadab and Abihu. Especially when you consider the fact that, you know, Aaron and his son actually had training. And we talked about this back over in Leviticus chapter 9. They knew the correct way to actually worship God. But again, they chose to do otherwise. Think about King Saul and how he disobeyed God. He used his own interpretations of God's word as opposed to obeying the will of God. And for his actions, we see that he was rejected by God. Over in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. We read, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrine, the commandments of man. And certainly we see this quite a bit today. And again, consider the fact that we see so many different denominations today. And, you know, it truly does. I mean, it amazes me that when you look through Acts, consider all of those baptisms that you had. Consider how all of these people understood the exact same thing in regards to the word of God. And when there was false teaching, again, consider the efforts of the apostles and those true, faithful disciples of Christ and the efforts that they put forth to fight against false doctrine throughout this time frame. But again, think about today and how we have all of these denominations. You know, I brought this figure up before that there was approximately 33,000 denominations in the world today. And there's no way that God would put forth something and have so many different options here. And you think about the fact that so many people want to worship God again the way that they want to worship him, as opposed to the way that God has told us to worship him. So again, certainly, it certainly matters whether or not we interpret the Bible our own way. The last verse I want to take a look at over for lesson one is, let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And those verses tell us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm going to move on to lesson number two here. And lesson number two was entitled, Does it matter if we know and obey God's will? And again, of course, as you continue to look through the title of all of these, clearly the answer is yes, it does matter. The first verse I want to take a look at is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. And those verses read, "The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written with upright words of truth, the words of the wise are like gold, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd." And again, we talked about it before. In verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words. That is, words that will actually profit the hearer of those words. And consider the words written were words that adhere, again, to the will of God. When you begin to think about these words, they weren't compromising words or contradicting words. Not words meant to deceive people, but the truth of God's word meant to guide the hearts of man. And unfortunately, again, when you look in our world today, you know, people can see the truth of God's word, but again, if it doesn't necessarily, you know, flatter them or it doesn't give them that good feeling, they're not necessarily willing to go along with it all the time. But again, you know, you think about the word of God and how that word is actually there for us to truly examine ourselves and to truly, you know, correct those deficiencies within our own lives. Lastly, let's turn over to John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18. Those verses read, "Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he should know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.'" And I'm going to continue to move on here. Lesson 3 was entitled, "Does it matter if I examine myself? And again, who do I see in the mirror?" Let's turn over to James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. And those verses tell us, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." And again, you know, you think about looking into the word of God, and truly, the word of God will truly reveal to us any deficiencies that we have within our lives. But, you know, you think about it, it's one thing to simply read the word of God. We must also be doers in the fact that we make corrections in our lives and, again, adhere to the one true word of God. Let's also turn over to 2 Peter. And we're going to take a look. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 2. Second Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 2. And those verses read, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As this divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and have forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. But so our interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we continue on, lesson 4 was entitled, Does It Matter If I Fall Back Into Sin? Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. And those verses tell us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And again, you think about the fact that Peter wrote this, and, you know, certainly we can see a lot of things from Peter. You know, you think about how Peter himself fell short on several occasions, and how even after he got to this point where he was preaching the gospel, you know, he still had to be corrected in love by the Apostle Paul. So, you know, Peter certainly, you know, as I look at this, you know, perhaps the appropriate person to reach out and try to encourage these Christians, certainly from his own struggles. And certainly, you know, as you look at Peter and you think about Peter and the things that he himself went through, again, think about the things that we go through on a daily basis and all of the encouragement that we can find through these individuals that we read about, these average people that we read about in the Bible. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 35 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. And those verses tell us, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is great reward. But you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. But yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And again, you know, you think about the encouragement that we see and the word of God that we have to lean on if we do find ourselves falling back into sin. And lesson five was entitled, doesn't matter if I grow and develop as a Christian. And again, it certainly matters if we grow and develop as a Christian. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 22 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And those verses read, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. Grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of God, the word of the Lord, endures forever. And now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And we talked about some of these verses before, and the fact that certainly we should crave the pure milk of God's word, but at the same time, in craving that milk, certainly as you know, we continue to have more time as a Christian, again, we should find ourselves growing as Christians and not staying stagnant and staying still in that same place. And those verses read, this would be the last set of verses that I read here, Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. But though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principle of the oracles of God. And you have not come to need milk and not solid food. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we go into chapter 6 here, those first three verses read, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So certainly, you know, the encouragement was there, even for these Christians, not to stay in the exact same place, but again, to continue to dwell into the word of God and continue to try to learn more and more about God, again, so we can grow. Again, you know, you think about this responsibility that we all have. It's kind of hard to really preach the word of God or to teach the word of God or to reach those who are lost in this world if we ourselves are unsure about God, if we don't know about it. So certainly, again, as a Christian, we have a responsibility to want to know more about this God who has blessed us and who has provided for us so many blessings. You know, you think about the life that we have, the abilities, everything that God has provided from us or provided to us from a spiritual and physical standpoint. And of course, over in lesson 6, you know, one of those key verses was certainly the great commission that Jesus provided to his disciples. I'm going to stop there, but I certainly hope that you guys actually got something out of this. I know about preparing this lesson, you know, it spoke to me on several occasions, on numerous occasions. So, again, are there any questions or comments for you? Okay, next week we will start our study into Romans. Brother Mark Bernhardt will start that for us. And the handout for that study are in the back. So if you've not received one or not picked up one, please do so. Thank you.
Good to see those that are out this evening with us. Rainy evening. It's always good to gather together with brothers and sisters. Good to see those people that are joining also on Zoom that are with us. Brother Ed Painter let me know that he'd be out of town in Florida the next three weekends. So we'll be traveling back and forth for those. So we may not see him in person here for a little bit, but we do want to remember those that are continuing to recover and undergoing different treatments for things or just can't make it out with us. Edith Birkebile, her shut-in state. Sherry Deese, as she continues to battle cancer. Bob Riggs, who's normally here with us. He's got his upcoming knee surgery, so let's continue to pray for Bob and that. Kenny Owens and Bill Talbert, as they continue to recover from their procedures. Sandra Myers, she battles her cancer, which has returned. Fran Bolden, the aunt of Julie and Audrey Clark, had a fall. She fractured the C2 vertebrae in her neck. She does not have a broken pelvis, so that's at least some good news. But they've got her right now in a neck brace for that fractured neck. So let's continue to pray for Fran, Lee, and Clark families. And also had sent out a text about Lenora Pearson's daughter, Loranda. Had another episode. She's had some mental health issues. So let's continue to pray for strength for Lenora and for Loranda that they can get that under control. As James mentioned, the lesson for this next Wednesday on Romans is back there. We're going to be doing an introduction. I don't know whether we'll take 1 or 2 weeks on that. It's a lot of things to kind of cover to set things up, but be sure to pick one of those up. You'll need it. There are questions. I'd like for everybody to fill those out as well, and I'll be sure to put those online for anybody who hasn't picked those up. But the easiest thing to do is just pick up a packet there on the table in the back. There's also the April daily Bible reading, and April starts tomorrow. So let's be prepared for that. Pick that up. Of course, the first Sunday in April is bringing about the time where we're going to begin meeting again on Sunday evening here at the building for a worship service at 6:30 p.m. So be prepared to come back out for that on Sunday evening, starting this coming Sunday. And also, our website does have a free app. If you want to put that on your phone, you can then easily access things. If anybody has any problems with that, you can see me, and I'll be happy to set that up for you on your phone, but that just gives another avenue, a quick and easy way where you can access directory. You need somebody's number and you don't have it, or listen to a sermon or do all kinds of things. So be sure to take advantage of the opportunity to avail yourself of those things. This evening, Brother Brent is going to lead our songs for us. He's then going to transition into his invitation before he then transitions back into the invitation song. So he'll be doing that, and Brother Willie Watts will handle our closing prayer for us.
Let's turn to song number 73. Song number 73. With our prayer. Sing the first and third verse of number 73.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from the world of care, and bids me have my Father's throne, may go, I walk. his breath and breathe. My soul has often loved revealed, and on this day the tempter said, "Thy love returns me out of breath, sweet hour of breath." Sweet hour of breath, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless.
Marking your songbooks, number 263, number 263. At the proper time, we'll sing number 263, the first and last verse, number 263. Before I get to the invitation, I want to make a few comments, but I've encouraged you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I want to thank James for the class that he has taught over these past weeks. And in advance, thank Mark for signing up for teaching the next class. We're going to be enjoying each Wednesday evening in the book of Romans. You know, one of the things that I noticed in James' class is what matters. But what I did not notice were opinions. I did not notice endless, unanswerable questions. I did not notice speculation. I did not notice opinion and preference. Or even my will and your will. Because what matters, as was pointed out in our classes, with regards to our salvation, our edification, and our unity, is the truth, the Word of God, and our application of it. And so it's with that I'd like to not only thank James and Mark for the class that has been taught and the class that will be taught, but encourage you to now turn your Bible to James chapter 1 and think for just a few minutes about prayer and the fact that prayer is essential for wisdom. Now, wisdom is something we talked about a few weeks ago, months ago now, with regards to our Bible class. And I'd like to say that there are a couple of reasons why prayer is essential for wisdom. And the first is God says that it's essential for wisdom. We look at the familiar text in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's something we ought to be actively praying for with regards to our betterment. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Colossians chapter 1. And notice there what the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So not only should we be involved in praying for wisdom from God for ourselves, we should be praying for each other, that each of us would be filled with this wisdom and understanding from God's word. That's the first reason why I believe it's important that we pray for wisdom. But I think secondarily, and sometimes something we don't often think about, is prayer is essential to wisdom, godly wisdom, because the posture and action of prayer is conducive to wisdom. Now you think about that. The posture and action of prayer is conducive or leads to godly wisdom. Now, why do I say that? Well, because every prayer we offer to God denies the popular opinion that we ought to look into ourselves for the answers. Look into ourselves for our guidance and direction in life. Look into ourselves for the best path we ought to take and providing for ourselves. Because prayer to God humbles us and seeks an answer, help from God, not from self. And then similarly, prayer to God humbles us, posture and action, instead of looking to man. Because man, no matter whether it's the president or a council of men or a whole population of the world, we all share the same faults and limitations. But our God is not faulty. He is not limited. And so our prayer life humbles us and is conducive to godly wisdom because we submit ourselves to him in our action and posture. And so we humbly, daily, in fact, many times a day, turn to our God and bow our heads in prayer to he who gives us all wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Now, I encourage you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 as we bring this to a close. And I encourage you to consider yourself and your life. The song we're going to sing, number 263, is Thy Heart Right with God? And what Peter has to say here in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3 is that our hearts, and by that he means not only our attitudes, but our thinking and our lives, can be a help or a hindrance in our relationship to God. And so as we think about our prayer life, notice what he says in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If there is something amiss in your life, that is, you are in your sin, whether it's because you've not yet put on Christ in obedience and baptism, or as a child of God, you have allowed sin back into your life, you need to make your life right. If in initial obedience, it is necessary to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Having believed in him, you then turn to him in repentance. Turn away from your sin to God in humble obedience. Submit yourself to God through baptism into Jesus Christ. If as a child of God you've sinned, then the pattern and plan for you is to ask for forgiveness and repent of those sins you've committed. And if we can assist you this evening in making your life right, we encourage you to come to the front while together we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus the lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, blessed and made holy, humble and holy, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does each moment of light in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and holy, right in the sight of God.
Let everybody know that I'll say for myself, I'm encouraged by seeing the number that are here present tonight. Certainly those who are on Zoom, we appreciate you, and I'm encouraged by your participation in that way. do want to be thoughtful and mindful of the fact that, as was announced a moment ago, and as was announced Sunday, we will begin meeting Sunday evening. So I'd encourage everyone to be present both Sunday morning and evening, if at all possible. I guarantee you'll be benefited if you bring yourself with an interest to serve and study God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Certainly want to continue to remember those who are dealing with sickness, weakness, both physical and spiritual. Certainly seek to help those whom we can. Also, let's be mindful of those who are traveling back and forth. For example, Brother Ed and his family, as they are times apart from each other. And so let's be mindful of our friends and family who are dealing still with some sickness. We want to continue to keep them in our prayers and thoughts. If none of the men have any other announcements at this time, we'll now be led in our closing prayer.